You know, Jesus had a strategy with his 12, you know, in pairs, always in pairs. He sent 2 by 2, never alone, no alone guy, in a small group setting, in real practice. He will do, go, 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 gradually, and in his presence. And Jesus was the master strategist. Jesus did not say, go, let the disciples grow. Let them grow. They will grow naturally. Did he say that? No, huh? He said, go and repeat after me. Make disciples. They will not grow disciples naturally. There's something else you have to do as disciples of Christ so that they will become disciples. It's like he would say, do it, do what I did with you. Jesus, in 3 years, he made disciples. He did, they looked. He sent, they did. He evaluated, reproved, commented. So it was a very perfect mixture of a very high standard and love. You know, Jesus reproved them often. When you make disciples, you have to say things to the disciple. It's one of the main things that is not done. I see that often. We're not ready to say things to the one we are discipling. And you know, the disciples even feared to ask him questions. Did you have a teacher like that? You were fearing to ask him questions because, oh, I don't know what will happen. Maybe he will reprove me. Maybe I'm... The loving Jesus was also the one that they feared to ask him questions. It's interesting. But at the same time, he was extremely patient with them. Extremely. They learned humility very, very slowly. Like me, like you. They needed patience. He made them disciples. He did not say, go teach them. He said, teach them to obey. Quite different. Teach them to obey what I have commanded you. Okay, like Paul to Timothy, Jesus could say, you have seen me when there was no money in the purse and the poor needed some. You've seen me when people applauded me, when the Pharisees opposed me, and when my town wanted to stone me. You've seen my life. Go and do likewise with other disciples. With my spirit in your life, filling your life with the life of Christ so that you can do that with other disciples. So you see, God is searching for spiritual fathers and mothers that want to pour their lives in the next generation. Father and mother wanted. This is the title of my teaching. Fathers and mothers wanted. And we go to 1 Thessalonians, the text that we read. Could you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2? I will reread the text, some of it. Verse 7. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. So Paul is saying, he's ready to pour out his life into the Thessalonians' lives. He's known them for a few weeks, a few months, and is already ready to pour his life into their life. You know, this is the first thing I say to a new disciple. First thing, first time we meet, I always do that. I will pour my life into your life for 3 years. But ask you one thing. You know what I ask him? You will do that with another person. I want an engagement right now. I will pour my life. I will pray over you. I will make you a disciple. You can count on me. I will persevere with you. But I ask you, do that with another disciple. You know, Caroline, she comes from a Christian family. She's 22. And I ask a woman from my mother church, André. She's in her 60s. And I ask her, can you disciple this young woman? And she likes it. And she said, oh, yeah. But take another with you. There's also Naomi. She's 18. And she needs to be discipled. So she began to disciple her with a course that we have. What's more, relation. And they go through the course and they share things personal, things hard to share, and helping her to forgive, helping her to live the Christian life. And 3 weeks ago, something like that, 4 weeks ago, Angie comes to the house church, 18. And I'm thinking, what do you think I'm thinking? Who will take care of her? The first thing when someone comes to the house church, the first thing I think, who will take care of this baby? Who will make him a disciple? Paul here is thinking like that. He says, we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother. Who will take care of this baby? We cannot abandon him. We cannot bring him to the home and say, okay, grow. What would you think of a mother who would say that? Okay, just grow. Does it happen like that? No, it takes care. It takes nursing. So I said to Caroline, I know you've not been a Christian too long, being formed too long, a year. But would you take care of NG, the new one? And I went to NG, do you want to be a disciple? That someone will take care of you and make a disciple of your life, like Jesus said in Matthew 28? Oh, yeah. Immediately, she said, oh, yeah, I'm interested. So I went to Caroline. Caroline, would you like to? I didn't say in front of Angie because I didn't want to oblige her. So Caroline said, oh, yeah, I'd like, you know, she has grown like crazy in the last year. Caroline, she has really grown in her Christian life. I see the difference. Her mother said, what's happening to you? I want to talk to your pastor. How are you doing that? We're not doing it. It's only Jesus that said, make disciple. It's quite easy, you know. No. It's biblical. Let's say that way. And so Caroline will begin to disciple Angie. So next time someone comes from the door, this is immediately someone has to think, who will take care of this baby? Who will disciple? Who will nurse like a mother this child? And you know, most Christians, and I know that's different here, but most Christians in most churches have never been discipled. This is my constat. Mm. My observation. We need to be disciples. And you know, when you're a disciple, like Paul here, taking care of the Thessalonians, you want to take care, oftentimes, because you've been blessed by it. Hmm? So, I see personally that young people, especially, are searching for true models for their life. Young couple in Quebec, I don't know here in Ontario, but man, they're searching for true models. Can someone learn me how to live? Father did not do it. They brought food, they brought money, they brought, well, our fathers in Quebec. I don't know in Ontario, so I can say what I want. But in Quebec, the men, they left it passive leadership. So young guys, they don't know. They need someone to nurture them. Here, like a mother. Hmm. So, what is essential for a baby? A loving heart, a person who is ready to give up his rights, his free time, his own interest for those of the child. Ready to pass on everything he knows, his life experience, what he learned, his mistakes, sharing his mistakes. Be open. And his qualities. What he needs is a father and a mother. You can have the best programs at school, but what makes a huge difference in a school? The teacher. Huh? The relation between the student and the teacher. So you're the teacher. If you want to disciple someone, you become the teacher, the one who help. At Radio-Canada, is there a word there? Radio-Canada? How do you say that? CBC, okay. CBC Radio. There was a special program for 20 people that were décrocheurs. Dropouts. And they had a special program for them. They had four teachers for those 20 dropouts. Four teachers. And they were sharing in their testimony. What made the difference? You know what they answered? The teacher encourages me. He doesn't abandon me. He loves me. He believes that I can succeed. He believes in me. If a teacher can do that, an unbelieving teacher can do that with a young guy, imagine now that you have the Spirit of God in you. He has the Spirit of God in him. You love him. You pour your life in him like a mother who loves him and nurture him and pray for him and intercede and go to God. God, do something in his life. God, he's fighting drugs. God, free him. I pray, free him. God, do something. You know, like a mother. When you pray for your child, you know, it becomes very intensive sometimes. God, do something for my child. The best of program means nothing if the prof, the teacher, doesn't love his students. There was a song by Linda Lemay. This is an artist well known in Quebec. The title is To Live Elsewhere. It's very touching. She tells the regrets, not to say the remorses, of a mother who lives the divorce and whose children are thrown around from one side to another. And for Quebec, our family are dismantled. Our family are in a very shocking situation. Most new believers come from highly unfunctional families. And this song reflects what's happening in Quebec. And I'm wondering how many spiritual parents in some years in the future would say, oh, I regret. This guy that went from church to church. And nobody took care of him. He's away from home, spiritual home. Nobody took the time to make him, to nurse him. So we have to be like a mother. Did you ever see a mother that take her children, her child on her heart? This is Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Paul, Silas, and Timothy are mothers. We have been mothers to you. Man, would you like to be a mother? Hear the opportunity. Pour yourself into one person in that church. In most of our churches in Quebec, women are in fire. Men, we have to bring on. I don't know. It doesn't seem to be like that here. And I praise God. I think this is the ministry of Tim that challenge men to be leaders and to be example. But this is your chance to become a mother. Huh? You know, for 3 Sabbaths, Paul reasoned with them, just only 3 weeks. Can you imagine? He had to leave his new babies in a very precarious situation. The word used for mother can be also translated by nurse. Paul realized that the new convert needed special care, and he accomplished his ministry with the solicitude of a wet nurse. Paul is a wet nurse. Do you see yourself like that? He's feeding the baby. And now he's away and the baby is persecuted. What do you think will happen to Paul? He's thinking about it. And he says in chapter 3, I'm praying day and night for you that we will be able to see you. Day and night, 3:10, praying exceedingly. Lord, I don't know if they will stand, you know. You see the nurse there? Lord, do something. I want to see them. I want to see my baby. This is your chance to become a mother. He says in verse 6, when we might have claimed authority as apostle of Christ. No, we were mothers. We did not push our authority on the new disciples. Could have said, hey, I'm apostle here. Do this, do that. No, he said, I didn't do that at all. Because when you speak out of experience, I know me how you should do. And the disciples is like that. He really feels a baby. No, Paul, he said, I didn't came with impressiveness to you. I make myself equal to you, like a mother. Huh? He utilized the word gentleness, epi in Greek. We were gentle in the midst of you. And there's a variant in the Greek. It can be epi or nepioi, the text. We're not sure exactly what was the original word. There's some texts that are, we were gentle, and the other, we were little children. There's just one letter different. One is epi, and the other is nepioi. It could mean here, we were like gentle, little infant to you. We praise, we place ourselves at your level. And when you make a disciple, you open your heart. You know, he's been Christian for 15 years, and I'm a 6 months Christian. And then the Christian prays, and 5 minutes prayer with long words, and wow! I'll never be able to pray like that. instead of offering a little prayer, simple prayer? Oh, I can do that. 15-second prayer, that's, I think I could risk that. You know? I see that often in small groups. I would have many things to say. And he says, verse 8, communicating his affection to the new believers, even so being affectionately desirous of you. Wow. He's saying, I'm affectionate to you. You're my children. Huh? And when you have a children, you want to be affectionate. The same term than my beloved son that the father said to Jesus. Paul says to them, you are my beloved. Do you say that to your child? You're special to me. Paul is saying that to the new convert. You are my beloved. I love you. I love you. He says at the end of the verse, because you had become very dear to us. You know, it's from the heart and it goes with words. You are dear to us here. And I tell you, you are my beloved son. You know, in Grand Bay particularly, there were many young women. I really felt, I have two girls, Sarah and Marianne. I love them. I'm affectionate as a temperament. I like to hug them and kiss them and to show that I love them. It's easy for me. I'm like that. But you know, there were young sister in her 25, 28, 30. And I felt exactly the same feeling than with my daughters. I felt a love for them that comes from the heart of a father that loves them dearly and wants them to succeed in life and to be disciples of Jesus Christ. I've experienced that. And each time I've experienced that, I was praising God. God, this is your plan. You want fathers and mothers. You know, people are coming through that door and they don't know what's a father, what's a mother. If you really know their story, your hair would be like the young guy, you know. Your hair would be like that. You would listen to that and say, man, he needs to know what's a mother. He doesn't know, you know. I can assure you of that. Most of them. And he says in verse 8, he was giving our life. We had found our delight in having imparted to you not only the glad tidings, but our own lives. He desired to give his own life. He works and prays day and night. He's praying for them. He wants to give his life. My wife is a wonderful example for that, you know. Always serving our daughters, helping them, giving her life to them. The need is there. Jan is there. Phone call. Here I am. She pours her life for our daughter. And she's an example for me on that. Sometimes I say, I think you go too far, dear. But more and more I think about it, I see the girls that it touches them. This is the heart of a mother. This is the heart of a mother. But I ask you, how a guy like Paul, a single person, you know single person? Normally those that I know don't want to be disquieted. Sometimes they like their tranquil life. Oh, tranquil? Is it in English? Yeah, tranquil what? Life. No. Here's a single guy, Paul. He knows those guys for 3 weeks, and he's ready to die for them. How? How can a guy likes people like that? Maybe he's an effeminate man. You know? He's like a lady. No. He endured hardship like an ordinary man. No, that's not the explanation. What's the explanation? How can he love people like that? How can he take care of people he has known for 3 weeks or 2 months and give his life, pour his life, pray night and day, love them? Wow. What's motivating this guy? You know the answer, huh? He says that in 2 Corinthians 5:14. Don't turn. For the love of Christ constrains us, compels us, controls us, presses us. This guy received a revelation of the love of Christ in his life. And this love's pouring out by the Spirit of God goes out. Like Jesus said, the Spirit of God will come in your life and will be like streaming waters all around. My friend, if you're trying to make disciples through your mighty strength, you will burn out. You will get discouraged. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ revealed in our life, the love of Christ revealed constantly. You know, we can have a revelation of Christ, special revelation 1 year ago, 2 years ago, and we go along with that. But you know, we need more. We should ask more. I read Ephesians 3 when it says that the love of Christ, the revelation of the love of Christ, is the maximum, filling with God, filling us with. I cannot translate it. You know the text. You read that and say, man, I didn't experience much. I need more. This is how we'll be able to make disciples. The commandment to make disciples will be the main thing. Yeah, Jesus commanded to make disciples. But you know, like, we know that. We won't persevere in that if it's not the only motivation. And Paul continues in verse 11, and he says, for you know, like a father we were to with his children. Now it's your turn, ladies. You can become a father. Here they were men, I know. But I'm extrapolating a bit. Because the role of father is different, eh? Exhorting, encouraging, testifying. It's more, one guy said, let me find it. Someone said, during my childhood, my father was sometimes my father and sometimes my dad. When we met together to, I couldn't find I checked the dictionary and it didn't work. No. How do you call it? Hunting. Thank you, Jay. He was my dad. We had a good time together with dad. It was funny. But when he ordered something, I had to obey immediately. He was my father. So Paul was the father here, admonishing, encouraging, and admonishing. So you need to become a father too. You know, one of the reasons why I think God put in my heart to reproduce myself when I was a young man. Do you know what I miss the most in my life, I think? My dad died when I was 20. And I can tell you, when I was 30, I would have loved to have someone died. How do you do that? How do you love your wife? How do you train your children? no model, alone. And I have been more wise and asked someone older than me to help me. But I didn't at that time. And I missed something. I needed a father to tell me how he was doing and how I should do those things. And this is why I think from the beginning, I began to train young men. And when I was older, I became a father to them, a father figure. I have two girls, but many, many sons in the ministry. And for me, it's a joy to see them grow, to see them taking responsibility, taking leadership in places very important, and to see them grow and become true disciples of Jesus Christ. That's a joy, a real joy. To see them teach. Tim was sharing me. He liked that, to see the other elders teaching. It's a joy for him. And it's a joy. There's something good, proud in that. Like a son that you're... I don't know how to the word to find, but you're happy that he's growing. You know... Sorry. Maybe this is you, the father. Christian for many years, that can become a model to those that come in. You fought in your marriage like crazy. And by the gospel, you learn how to love, how to have victory in things in your life. And there's a guy that comes in, new married, 2 years. And you look at him, and he's, I can't stand my wife. If I continue, I'm thinking about divorce. It's hard. I'm bitter against her. And you can take him along. Oh, I know what you feel. I felt it. I thought about it sometimes. Huh? Like the wife of Billy Graham, you know what she said? The guy asked her, have you ever think about divorce? She said, no, never. Killing, yes. She said that. The wife of Billy Graham. Can you believe it? Marriage can be very, very difficult. We're so different, you know? My wife, when we tested, there were 8 letters. I was 4 letters on this side, and she had 4 letters on the other side. And the guy who was counseling us and said, how are you together? There's no way to connect. You know, we are a miracle of Jesus Christ. It took 5 years for every letter. Five years of adaptation for every letter. Ooh, it was hard. So when a couple comes with troubles, I felt that. I felt that too. You can cry. I understand. You think there's no hope. Your marriage is finished. I understand. But let me tell you how the grace of God overcame in our couple. You can be the father to those guys that come in and live that. You can be the father. Or you had a broken marriage. You failed. And you could be la honte. La honte. You can be shameful. But through the years, God gave you the victory. And now a new comes and he's divorced. Who will that help him, you think? You can understand him if you went through and settled the things in your heart, the failure. You can embrace him and say, I understand your solitude. I can understand how you feel with the children from one side to the other side. You're fed up with that. You're fed up with the arguments with your ex-wife. I understand that. Come, I will train you. Or you fought for pornography. You know, many pastors have problem with pornography. That's awful. I'm helping a pastor who fights for pornography. My background is very pornographic. But the gospel of Jesus Christ can win that battle, I can assure you. I can assure you, the gospel of Jesus Christ can win the battle against pornography. But you have to go deep to the sin that are deep. You have the sin of pornography, but oftentimes the problem is other sins behind. Bitterness is one of them and many others. And you have to fight. But if the Lord gave you the ability to overcome pornography, you can help. The young guy that comes in, most of them are fighting pornography, I can assure you. In this congregation, you would be appalled to know how many men and women are fighting pornography. And they're fed up. Can I win this? And you know, young people need help. My daughters went away from the Lord. And the reason is she was not able to fight some of her battles. And many young people feel like that. And it was hard for me to know that. When she phoned me and said that, Father, I'm discouraged. Let's finish the battle. I decided to quit Christianity. It's too hard to live. Oh. It was really painful. But you know, when she got married, the one that were following her for premarital counseling had to change the church and nobody took care of them. So sad story. Do you want to become a father, a mother, to exhort, to correct, to encourage? You know, making disciples is quite a challenge. I have a young guy. I'm discipling him for 1.5 years. Sorry, I'm I'm mixed up in my notes. I train him in the house church. He's very affectionate, very serviceable, faithful. But slow in reading, taking drugs for sleeping, rebellious, proud, searching for people approval, divorced, bitter at his wife. And you have to train him to overcome all that stuff. This is gospel in action. Do you know why Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and in the earth. Go, make disciples. He knew, and with the 12, what it meant. It can be very, like parenting, you know. can be very discouraging sometimes. And you need to remember that the power of Christ is there to help you, not to be discouraged. I just want to add some thoughts. A power and a mother are the one that build personality in people's life. The encouragement of a father and a mother, like in this text here, build people's lives. God does not want spiritual orphans where people develop deep problems with their spiritual identity. Paul, in his epistle, is constantly coming back to who they are in Christ. This is very important, what I'm saying there. Your flesh tells you you're miserable, defeated, and inadequate. But the most important part of you, the most deepest way in yourself. Go to the deepest part of you. I'm not talking about your body. No, deeper. Not talking about your thoughts. Go deeper. Not talking about your soul. No, go deeper. I'm talking about your spirit, your heart. The Bible says that a new heart was given to you. You have a new heart. And in the epistle, Paul comes always to that. Who are you in Christ? Our heart were changed. A new heart was given to you. So don't be afraid to go to the deepest part of your being. You will find a heart that loves God and His commandments if you have been regenerated. That's real. In the deepest part of you, you love God. You love God. God expelled the stubborn heart. Do you believe that? And the spiritual father will communicate that to his child. I think you've been very well educated by Tim and Joanne. And you will continue to be. Now, I challenge you to become spiritual mothers and fathers to new believers that will be brought in the family of God. Like Anna, ask God for a spiritual baby. Cry out. Pour out your heart to God in Christ. Ask for a spiritual baby. And you know what will happen? Your high priest, Jesus Christ, will tell you, be at peace. You will give birth. It's coming. It's happening. Every time God gave me a baby, spiritual baby, this happened. I cried in prayer. I could not stand to be barren. Lord, I want a baby. Even like Anna, I'm fed up of being barren. Lord, give me a baby, please. Be careful. You could end like Hannah with a joyful band of spiritual babies. She had, I didn't have time to check, but 4 or 5 babies, you know. The Lord really answered. So you could have a big family, spiritual family, and many babies to take care of. Feed them. Take care of them till they are true disciples of Jesus Christ. Mature them. Remember, 7 billion people were born and raised one by one on this earth. just ask one soul. And really asking. And take care of him. Make him a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, when you ended your ministry, you had only trained 12 men. There was no great success in the way we count in churches today. No great numbers, no great buildings, no great offerings. Just 12 babies. Lord Jesus, you matured them. You loved them. You trained them. You reproduced your life in them. Everywhere. And they went. And they made disciples. And we're here. Lord, I pray that you give us spiritual babies. Give us babies, Lord, I pray. Tell us we are pregnant. Lord Jesus, give us children, and like Samuel, make them great prophets, great spiritual warriors against the enemy. Lord, we want children. Help us to take care and love them. Amen.